motherfucker.
The Jell-O Program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston and Phil Harris and his orchestra.
Thank you, thank you. This is Groucho Marx. Well, here I am, stepping in over my head again.
With Fibber McGee and Molly.
Folks, this is just as new to me as it is to you.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny, this is Rochester.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
Well, what an original greeting.
Hello and welcome to another week of comedy, funny, ha-ha, on Dwayne Old Time Radio.
Also, my podcasts are free of ads, so you can enjoy the programs commercial-free. If you would like to donate a few dollars to help me cover the cost of creating these weekly posts, you can donate to my channel. On the bottom of each post, there is a donation link in your preferred podcast player. Anything you donate is extremely helpful and appreciated.
The Henry Morgan Show returns for the second week of April. Two episodes from Mr. Morgan. The first one is The Discovery of Air. A-I-R. September 9th, 1946. And their second one is going to be dedicated to America's landlords. March 26, 1947.
Hello, here I am to interrupt your regularly scheduled program with some house cleaning. Some donations came in and I wanted to thank some people. So I am going to thank, get these names correct. Victor gave me a nice donation. They're all nice donations. Any donation is a nice donation. But thank you, Victor. He said he specifically listens to sci-fi and horror, but I believe he listens to others as well. Thank you, Victor. And thank you. I have one more. Thank you to, oh my gosh, where is it? Edward. Edward C. Thank you, Edward, for your donation. I appreciate it. I appreciate you, Victor. I appreciate you, Edward. And back to your regularly scheduled program.
Henry Morgan in a new program featuring Bernie Green and his orchestra and a few mistakes. And here he is, the star of our show, Henry...
Aldrich.
Aldrich.
Ford.
Ford.
Morgan, you don't.
Henry Morgan.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, here are the results of last week's program, which was the first in a series of one. Now, tonight we bring you the first in the second series of one. Next week we'll have the third in the first series of two. And the week following that, we're going to have the fourth in the first series of four, or the last... we're going to have the third in the... of course, if the Dodgers win tomorrow, it makes... Well, we only have 28 more minutes to go. Now for the results... That's a radio-type joke of last week's show. A woman in Perth Amboy, after listening, wrote,
"Dear Mr. Morgan, I heard your broadcast. Frankly, why don't you have it on earlier if it's going to be so scary?"
The shortwave broadcast was heard by a gentleman in Moscow who wrote,
"Евгений Дробнев от радиотеатр Асидо." How do you spell that name?
Oh, but offers have been pouring in. Life magazine wants to send a photographer around to take pictures of the cast for their other publication, Death. I tell you one thing in confidence about the jokes on this show. The other joke shows aren't on the air yet, so I don't have anybody to steal from. But now that I have my own comedy program, I have to look the part. So I'm going to have my head shaved for a toupee. And I'm going to get a brother-in-law and a mother-in-law and an announcer who giggles and a closet with a lot of loose stuff in it. And I'm going to have a feud. Feuds are good. Like the one between Benny and Alan. I'm going to get into that one. on Alan's side. If that doesn't work, I'll start a feud with Toscanini. That would be fun, you know. You might not think so, but I can insult him Tuesday. Saturday, he can get back at me with, boom, 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 sing. It's a weird joke, isn't it? Well, he'd have me there. I could have...
Mr. Morgan.
Yes.
There's a gentleman here to see you. This is Mr. W.W. Krulish.
Oh. How do you do?
Mr. Morgan, I represent the editors of Bulb, the 15-cent radio magazine that lights up.
Oh. Well, what is your job?
I'm a tube feeler.
Tube feeler?
Yeah. When the radio dude goes dead, I reach around in the back of the set and fill the tubes.
And?
If I get a cold one, it comes out. If I get a hot one, I go out.
I see. Well, what did you want to see me about?
On behalf of the editors of Bulb, the 15-cent radio magazine that lights up, I would like to present you with this scroll, which Bulb, the 15-cent radio magazine that lights up, gives to the program, which it deems the most consecutive in the opinion of Bulb, the 15-cent radio magazine that lights up. And here you are, sir.
Oh, well, that's very kind of you. But tell me, why does it say on the scroll, to Harry Horlick's A&T Gypsies, 1928?
Yeah, wasn't that a great show?
As you know, this program, you can ignore the entire thing if you like. This program is presented as a public service, and in the public service we present...
issues which confront you and me.
You and I.
Oh. This past week, many problems have arisen which puzzle the man on the street. But one major question is on everybody's lips.
The question of the week.
What?
Thank you.
Now for the music. We were going to get the Andrews sisters, but, the one who goes da 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 isn't speaking to the one who goes do we do we do we do we. So instead we have Frank Novak. Because it keeps the actors awake. Tonight, we're peddling vitamins.
Do you have a lazy stomach, sluggish liver, an idle gland? Give them all a nut. Yes, one-a-minute vitamins. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, one-a-minute vitamins are the vitamin pills you take only before, after, during, and in between meals. And they're so easy to take. Just pop one in your mouth. Wait 1 minute. Now, pop another one in your mouth. Do this every minute, every day. You'll agree you were never more active in your life. Here is what one satisfied customer has to say. Mr. Fadang, how long have you been taking one-a-minute vitamin pills?
2 years.
Tell me, have you noticed any change in your body?
Yes, sir, I have.
And, what is that?
I grew a third arm.
And it helps you, of course?
Oh, yes. Now when I take a bath, it's quicker.
Splendid.
When I take my girl riding, I can drive with two hands and still get a slap in the face.
I see.
I'm very popular with people who have poison ivy.
Naturally. Tell us, Mr. Fidang, what is your work?
I'm a typist.
Wonderful. Now that you have three hands, you work that much faster?
Oh, no.
How come?
I only use two fingers.
We don't leave the applause. We let it lie around. As another public service, we present... The March of Science. The March of Science, a tribute to the great scientific discoveries which have benefited mankind. Tonight, we turn our attention to the discovery of air. Air, from the Latin, meaning nothing. Air, without it, smoke would lie around on the sidewalk. Air, without it, butterflies would be forced to walk. Look down a shaft. Put your head in a tunnel. Stick your finger in a room. What do you find? Air. In your homes, on the streets, over the world, air. It's in the air. And yet...
Who first discovered it? Who accidentally came upon this elusive, invisible thing? The year is 1600. The city is Leipzig. In his tiny but uncomfortable laboratory, a scientist is at work. 5 years from Bergen on this. Maybe today is the day when I discover the discovery. Now I put in a little potassium permanganate. Now I put in a little tetrahydrochloric oxide. Now I put in a little bit of this red stuff in this bottle here. Well, I use the blue stuff, same thing. That's good. Now comes the special formula. I use ingredient X, 2 drops. And now, I taste it.
Still not so good like Dr. Pepper. A failure. I poured out a window.
Tired, discouraged, but weary. The scientist trudges over to the window. He opens it. And then it comes to him.
What is it? Could that be? It may be that. What is it? Emily!
Father Snow!
Emily, give a smell.
I can't. Ach, Emily, at last you have done it. Ach, Emily!
Yes, Emily. At last I've discovered it. I will call this air after my best friend, Sigmund.
Ach, Emil, it's wonderful. Leave open the window.
Yeah.
Once discovered, the use of it is limited. In America, a man took a donut filled up with air.
Gee, that's firestorm.
Advantage of air. With a sailor could approach it.
mixing air. Pardon me. Yes, but where does air question? Here in our studio tonight is Professor Pitkin of the Massachusetts Institution. Professor Pitkin, how does science feel about air?
In favor of air.
Can a person live without air?
We conducted experiments. Observed a citizen who got on a train at Times Square. As he entered the train, he took a deep breath. Train went to 181st Street, and he said, Another experiment concerned a man who entered a dimly lit room called Donovan's Joint.
Did he live?
7 hours later, when he came out, he said,
Hey, Mac, give me a taxi, will you? I'm dead.
Still another experiment concerning...
Professor, we haven't much time. Could you sum up? What does the future hold?
Oh, I predict an air famine.
You mean all the air is being used up?
Yes.
According to science... Where does it go?
I don't know. It just vanishes into thin air.
Science marches on.
Another experiment concerns...
And now, ladies and gentlemen, shall we dance? Transcription coming on. Twenty years ago, a number of brothers made a motion picture.
and it sucks. Today, we bring you movies at their peak.
Stronger than the call.
Yes, they're together again. In the picture the world dares them to make. The picture they dare the world to see. You thrill, as he says. And she says. And he says. And she says. Drama, excitement, love. Don't miss this thrilling, action-packed, two-fisted, slam-bang, shock-o picture.
See it today at Lowy's. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Mariners Quartet.
Old MacDonald had a barn, and on his barn he had a cow, with a moo-moo here and a moo-moo there, Old MacDonald had a barn, and on this barn he had a cow, with a quack quack here and a quack quack there, here a quack there, quack there, quack quack quack, moo-moo here and a moo-moo there, here a moo-moo there, where, where, moo-moo, old MacDonald had a barn, Now old MacDonald had a farm, and on this farm he had a dog, with a wolf wolf here and a wolf wolf there, here a wolf there, wolf there, where, wolf wolf, quack quack here and a quack quack there, and here a quack there, quack there, quack quack quack, moo moo here and a moo moo there, here a moo there, moo there, where, moo moo, old MacDonald had a farm,
sensationally gorgeous wife. It was give me a diamond ring here, a mink coat there. It was here, gimme, there, gimme, everywhere, gimme, gimme.
Old MacDonald had a barn,
and the
cows
went moo, and the ducks.
Interest, we bring you that delightful new quiz show, Take It, For Goodness Sake, Take It. And here he is, the man with a question mark for a birthmark, your host and master of ceremonies, Hank with Jane Morgan.
Thank you. Hey, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Now for a few funny jokes to start the show. My hotel room is so small that if I push the key too far in the keyhole, it breaks the window. The waiters are so slow that when you order breakfast, the waiter comes back with 5 o'clock shadow. Next joke.
I just put new horns on my car.
Oh, did you? How does it look?
Like the devil.
Next joke. No, it's time for our first contestant. Good evening, madam. And what is your name?
Oh, Mr. Morgan.
No, your name.
Oh, Stella.
I see. And your last name?
I don't have none. I ain't married.
You seem to be a little bit nervous.
Well, I'm meeting you for the first time. Gee, you look just like you do in real life.
I beg your pardon?
Mr. Morgan, I see I'm over frantic for you.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And now to get on.
Why didn't you answer my letter?
Later.
Now for the first question.
Well, you're fatter than Frankie.
That's quite true. Now for the first question.
You're sloppier than Frankie.
That's fine. You now have a dollar. Now, Stella, are you ready for your second question?
Would you mind repeating it, please?
Why?
I love to hear you talk. See, Mr. Morgan, I'd rather hear you talk than... I don't know what. You give me the goosebumps.
Yes. Now, look, Stella, we have...
Well, why the end to my life?
Stella, you have $2. What do you want to do? Thank you very much. Stand by for the jackpot question. Now, ladies and gentlemen.
I have a lady in the balcony, Doctor.
Huh?
Get out of the way.
And now for our next contestant. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
What did you receive on your way into the theater tonight?
A mattress. Can I put it down now?
Certainly.
Thanks. They run out of pencils and they had to give me something.
Oh, of course. Now, Mr.
Gable. Clark Gable.
Clark Gable?
Yeah, I'm the real one. The other ones are phony.
I see. Where are you from, sir?
Why?
Well, I thought it might be interesting for the audience.
What's it their business? They won't clap for me unless I say I'm from Brooklyn.
Are you from Brooklyn?
No, the Bronx. See, I told you.
Yeah. All right, Mr. Gable, here's our first question. For $1, what is the capital of the United States?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I'm stupid.
Well, tell me, is your wife in the audience?
Yeah.
Remember, Mrs. Gable, no help.
Are you kidding? She's even stupider than me.
Tell me, how long have you two been married?
Married 25 years today.
25? Well, isn't that... Congratulations. How about a little hand, folks?
I hate it.
Yes. Well, to get back to our... first question. What is the capital of the United States?
I told you once, I don't know. Kill me.
That's an idea, Mr. Gable. I'll just lie there for the jackpot question. And now we have another...
I have a lady in the balcony, Doctor.
Huh?
But you should have seen the one that got away.
Now for our next contestant. Good evening, sir.
Say, I want you to feel that you could ask me anything. I know all kinds of stuff. I know where bats go in the daytime. I know how to make yogurt. Been married 3 times. Can speak a lot of Choctaw Indian, too. For example, chug-along, chug-a-bang, with the coffee, have your turtle, so forth.
What does that mean?
Means I can make my own yogurt.
Well, now, what did you receive on your way in here?
An elbow in the stomach.
Didn't you receive a pencil?
No, they was pushing us in here so fast and the... Fellow giving him away was pretty sure he couldn't get the lead out, you know. Hey, tell me something.
What would you like to talk about?
Oh, girls?
No, pick a subject from the chart.
Say, speaking of girls, I knew a Billy in Kansas City. Oh, boy, we did have the big time together, I tell you, but it only lasted about 2 years.
Well, what happened?
We got married.
I see. Now, here's your first question.
Wait, I got a swell idea. How'd you like to hear an off-color story?
No, I'm afraid not.
Sure. This traveling salesman, you see, he has to
go. Please, for goodness sake, play some music or something.
Well, this traveling salesman... to him.
Thank you very much. Now for the jackpot question. I will ask the question. The orchestra will play a number during which you write your answer on a piece of paper. Now, is everybody ready?
The question is, who said, don't give up the ship? All right, let's look at these answers. John Paul Jones is wrong. John Paul Jones, that's wrong. John Paul Jones is wrong. Sorry, better luck next time. The jackpot goes to me. Good night. Very happy to have had you.
I have a lady in the balcony, Doctor.
Huh?
Oh, it's no lady. It's my wife.
That joke was a mistake. Join us again next week. Join us again next week when our special guest will be Sam. Until then, this is Chief Morgan saying,
thanks for the murder movie.
I'm sorry, that's Hope, isn't it? Good night.
This is Charles Irving speaking. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
The Henry Morgan Show? Eversharp, manufacturers of Eversharp Chic Injector Razors and Blades, brings you The Henry Morgan Show, featuring Bernie Green and his orchestra and a few surprises.
Good evening, anybody. Here's Morgan. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very happy to announce that tonight's program is going to be different. Not better, just different. It was going to be a lot different. We almost did it in an entirely different way. Charlie, explain to the nice people what almost happened.
Okay. The other day, just before rehearsal, we were all sitting around shaving and waiting for Henry to show up. And Arnold said,
hey, Charlie, have I got time for just one more shave before Henry gets here?
How many have you had?
Three.
You better take it easy, kid. That bay rum creeps up on you.
Just one more. Oh, boy. Push, pull, click, click. Oh, boy.
Sorry I'm late, everybody. Rinse off your razors.
Hey, Henry, can I run down to the barbershop for a quickie?
No, we haven't time. Say, listen. I just found out something. What do you think is wrong with this show?
Wait,
I found out. I'll tell you. It's very interesting. The trouble is, we aren't people. We have no characters. For example, from now on, there's all new rules. I'm going to have a characteristic. From now on, I'm a tightwad.
From now on, he's a tightwad.
Yes. And as for you, Arnold, from now on, we're going to pretend that your mother hates me.
From now on, we're going to pretend my mother hates him.
Yes. And Bernie Green.
What?
For this, good reading, Bernie. That's our orchestra leader. For this new program, Bernie, I don't want an old-fashioned orchestra leader anymore. Please stop coming to orchestra rehearsals.
So where will I spend my time?
In saloons. And also, you're a woman chaser.
But, Henry, I have a wife and three kids.
Bernie, what you do on your own time is your business. Wednesday nights, you're a woman chaser.
Wednesday nights, she's a woman chaser.
Yes. Now, Charlie?
Yeah?
You're not going to get the first base muttering along about a razor. I like the way Harlow Wilcox gets the commercials in. So you mention the product every time you see an opening.
Okay.
Oh, how about me, Henry? I could use a little character.
All right, Betty. From now on, you're man crazy, like Vera Vague.
From now on, she's man crazy.
All set. Here are your parts. I'm stingy. Arnold's mother hates me. Bernie is girl crazy. Betty's man crazy. Charlie is ever sharp crazy. And, well, let's see. Good evening, anybody. Here's Morgan.
Yes, it's always a good evening if you've just shaved.
Oh, please,
with a...
Charlie.
Yes, you'll always be pleased if you just push, pull,
wait,
click.
No, stop. Gee whiz, what's the matter with you, Charlie? Were you out late last night?
No, I couldn't afford to go out last night. I just got paid.
Mm-hmm. So I underpay you, huh?
Yes. But next year, I'm going to work for Bob Hope.
Offered you more money, huh?
Money? Who gets money? I just want to work for a guy whose old clothes fit me.
Well, boy, am I stingy.
Friends,
There's no need to be stingy with your beard because...
Hello, Mr. Morgan.
Oh, hello, Arnold. Where have you been?
Arguing with my mother. She hates you.
Well, so you were arguing with her, eh?
Yeah, but not about that.
Oh.
We were arguing about whether I should be allowed to go out with girls.
Well, then, Arnold, why don't you ask your father?
Oh, he wouldn't know. He's not allowed to go out with girls either. Any man around? Oh, hello, Mr. Morgan. Any men around?
She's man crazy.
Any women around?
Hi, Betty.
Any women around?
Bernie, he's woman crazy.
Everybody's crazy about Eversharp.
That's Charlie. He's nuts. Well, I guess you're wondering how all this ends. Well, Betty married Bernie, and they lived happily for 2 days. Charlie Irving cut his throat with an Eversharp injector razor. Hard to do, but he did it. Arnold's mother hated me so much that she made him leave the show. I was left all alone, and I was so stingy nobody would work for me. So the show went off the air. That's bad. Oh, took me by surprise. A lot of people have asked me to explain about the atom. Fortunately, a friend of mine just wrote a song called Atom and Evil. True. And another friend, Josh White, is going to sing it. He needs help, though, so he's brought his son... Little Josh, who is 6 years old. Here's Josh White and Little Josh and Atom and Evil.
This is a story of Atom and Evil. Their courtship is causing a great upheaval. Now, Atom was a sweet, young, innocent thing.
Till the night that Evil took him under her wing.
Now, Atom was an honest and hard-working man. He wanted to help out the human clan. But Evil got him drunk on prejudice and hate.
And taught him how to gamble with humanity's fate.
Atom and Evil. Atom and Evil. Now, if we don't break up that romance soon,
we'll all fall down and go bum, bum, boom.
Atom, get evil, 'twill be such a shame, 'cause plenty of big shots are playing that dame. 'Cause life will be troubles, life will be cursed.
If Atom plays with evil, Atom won't be the first.
Atom's a youngster and hard to handle, but we'd better step in and stop that scandal. If Atom and evil should ever be wed,
well, darn near, all of us are gonna be dead.
Atom and Evil.
Atom and Evil.
Now if we don't break up that romance soon,
we'll all fall down and go bum, bum, boom.
We're sitting on the edge of doom.
A startling announcement. The Eversharp Shake Injector Razor will not write underwater. Also, we guarantee that if you shave with an Eversharp Shake, that girl who never liked you still won't like you. Are you unpopular at dances? Are you the wallflower type? Do people whisper about you behind your back? Use an Eversharp Shake Injector Razor and don't go to dances. People will still whisper. They'll say that you're stupid, that you're offensive in 10 ways your dentist can't fix, that you're a pain. But you'll have a nice shave, so what do you care? You buy one of these sets, see? The razor and 20 blades for $1.25. And what do you care if people don't like you? I will like you. The razor... the razor changes blades automatically, and that takes care of your social life. You can sit home nights and play with a razor. Then Wednesday night, you can tune in and I'll try to talk you into buying another one. Why, we can go on like this for years. You and I, you shaving and me making money. Of course, on the other hand, if you want to be spiteful,
Forget the name Eversharp Schick Injector Razor. Go ahead. The other night, I was sitting around hating the hotel I live in when a friend of mine called me and invited me to join his club. Grabbed my hat, ran out to the elevator, and in 23 minutes, I was on the main floor. That's one reason I hate the hotel. So I took a taxi to the Ajax Social Club to find out what I'd been missing by not being a member, and this is what I'd been missing.
Party, everybody!
The club will please come to order. Our secretary, Miss Sadie Hammerklutz, will please read the minutes of the last meeting. Miss Hammerklutz?
The last meeting was called to order promptly at 8:45. It came to order at 9:30. The delay was caused because the sergeant-at-arms, Mr. Scunn, took such a long time throwing out a noisy member, Mrs. Scunn. He also beat her up. That completed the old business. New business. A motion was made by Mr. Klangel not to allow any more women to join up. The motion was made, seconded, and defeated. A motion was made that women are human, too. It was passed 24-23. After that...
Mr. Chairman!
The chair recognizes Mr. Klangel.
Listen, chair! The time is growing late and we have had enough minutes. I move we do away with Miss Hammerklutz.
Good motion. No business. We got a new member here who has to be sworn in. Mr. Morgan?
Yeah.
I'm going to swear you in. Repeat after me.
I.
Do.
Do.
Pledge.
Pledge.
To.
To.
Up.
Up.
Hold.
Hold.
The.
The.
I said the.
I said the.
Oh, never mind the rest.
Oh, never mind the rest.
All right. Shut up. Now you're in good standing. Sit down.
Mr. Chairman.
The chair recognizes Mr. Scunn.
Mr. Chairman, the Education Committee has chosen a very educational topic for the education lecture at our next meeting.
What is the educational topic?
The topic is, why do children behave like pigs?
I object.
What do you object to, Miss Hammerklutz?
I object to the topic. No reason for the whole club to listen to a lecture just because Mr. Scunn's children behave like pigs.
I object.
What do you object to?
I object to Miss Hammerklutz.
Mr. Chairman.
The chair recognizes the new member. Mr. Morgan?
I think it's a very educational topic.
Mr. Chairman!
Yes, Mr. Klangel?
I make a motion the new member shall be kicked out.
The motion is out of order. We are discussing pigs in general and not the new member. Mr. Scunn, do we have a speaker?
Yes, the Educational Committee has procured the services of an eminent doctor in the neighborhood, Dr. Lucius Cranj.
I don't think Dr. Cranj is qualified to talk about the behavior of children.
Why not?
Well, he's a foot doctor. For one thing, what does he know about children?
Children have feet, don't they? I never heard of such a foolish remark from a new member.
Mr. Chairman!
What is it, Mr. Klangel?
I make a motion that the new member shall be kicked out.
On what grounds?
My opinion is being questioned. I wish to resign.
Nobody resigns before the collection of dues. Go on, Mr. Scunn.
Well, the Education Committee proposes that we charge a quarter admission for the lecture. After all, it should be worth a quarter to each and every one of us to find out why our own little precious child acts like a pig.
That there's ridiculous. Dr. Cranger's opinion about children isn't worth a quarter.
All right, during the question period, you can ask him about your feet.
Mr. Klangel has the floor.
Refreshments are now being served.
Meeting adjourned.
Tonight, Bernie Green plays a medley of songs, which medley will bring tears to your eyes. As he plays this group of sad tunes, radio's favorite poet-philosopher, Edgar A. Morgan, is sitting in the corner of a friend's living room under a framed motto on the wall. The writing on the motto reads, "Home is where the heart is." Bernie Green's music, and our guest, Edgar A. Morgan.
just rent me a house by the side of the road. A two-storied penthouse will do. A $10,000 furnished abode with kitchen, two baths, and a view. I need a living room 40 feet long in an elegant residence. That is my feeling. Now the orchestra plays a home-type song with no regard for the OPA ceiling.
A home where the antelope roam, where the skies are cloudy and fall. Oh, lease me a shack with another in back, even with no skies at all. Oh, rent me a tent at any old rent, on a hill, in the vale, on the trail. A four-sided tent, either dented or bent, that is the tune of my wail.
With those outlaws, my in-laws, for years. Their bickering is driving me nuts. All I got is a cot. How lovely appears the thought of a cave, or a hole, or a hut. Oh, rent me, sublet me, or lease me a place. I only want room for my toothbrush and comb. I'll take a Quonset, a houseboat, just space. Any old thing that I can call home.
I'm not really worried. I've bought me a thing. It's not very large, but it's all that I've found. Someday I'll move in, and my friends will all sing,
Morgan's in the cold, cold ground.
Here is Uncle Charlie.
Most men agree the four biggest shaving nuisances are the time it takes to shave, razor nicks and skin irritation, the nuisance of cleaning razors, the nuisance of unwrapping blades. Eversharp Chic Injector Razor banishes these four nuisances forever. Ends nuisance number one. No time wasted. Nationwide shave-a-thons have proved Eversharp Chic Injector Razor at least 50% faster. Cleaner, smoother shaves in half the time. Ends nuisance number two. No nicks or cuts. Patented guard bar prevents skin irritation. Even under nose, Eversharp shaves clean and smooth without skin irritation. It's 100% safer, 200% cleaner. Ends nuisance number three. Nothing to take apart or put together. World's easiest razor to clean. Just rinse under faucet, shake, and put away. Ends nuisance number four. No blades to unwrap. Automatic blade changer. Locks new blade in correct shaving position instantly. And they're the world's sharpest blades. For the world's fastest, easiest, cleanest shave, use Eversharp Chic Injector Razor. Only a dollar and a quarter, complete with 20 blades.
Hello?
Hello, Hortense. This is Gerard.
Hello, Gerard. This is Hortense.
How are you, pussy face?
I'm fine, lover boy.
Oh, Hortense.
Gerard, why didn't you call me earlier?
I was otherwise occupied.
Doing what?
Oh, I was just washing a few things.
What?
My hands.
Oh, Gerard. You're such a witty type. Honest, I never saw such a brain on a fella.
Oh, pussy face. Hortense, what are you doing tonight?
Why?
How would you like to frolic with me?
Oh, I would love nothing better, but honest, Gerard, tonight I'm simply full of lassitude and lethargy.
What do you mean?
I'm beat.
Oh.
I'm going to sleep early so I can be fresh at work tomorrow. Maybe I'll dream about you, like I did last night.
You did? Uh-huh. What did you dream?
I dreamt that you were a real knight in shining armor. Oh, you were so masculine, sitting on your horse with your spear and eyeglasses.
You dreamed that about me? Oh, sugar lips.
And then you were fighting a desperate duel for my hand.
Really? Uh-huh. Who was I fighting with?
A Douglas Fairbanks, Jr.
Him? And then what happened?
Well, what could happen? He killed you.
Well, I don't care, Hortense. It's a great honor to be killed in one of your dreams. Will you try to dream about me again tonight?
I acquiesce.
Hortense needs a good night's sleep to get ready for the next day's work. Work is important to everyone now. But there was a time when no one worked.
As a public service, we present another in the series, The March of Science. Great discoveries that have benefited mankind. Tonight, we present the invention of work.
Work. Work. Without it, everyone would live like a congressman. Without work, nothing would be built well except Lana Turner. Today, men work hard hoping to get places. In factories, on farms, in movie balconies. But there was a time when work was unknown. How was work invented? What great genius of mankind first saw its immense possibilities?
The process which is today called work was invented by a young eccentric named Archibald King, who was also responsible for the invention of poverty. Archibald King had great vision, tremendous foresight, and a big stomach. In King's time, everyone slept all day, ate fruit from the trees, did nothing to better themselves, because working had not yet been invented. One day, Archibald King met his old friend Archibald Queen, resting as usual.
Oh, Arch. Oh, it's you again.
Well, Arch, I'm worried about the future. Look at all these people lying around doing nothing like you. Look at all these idle hands. I wish I could do something with my hands.
You can.
What?
Scratch me.
Oh, no, Arch, you... Arch, you gotta listen. I want to make things. To above all be something. Don't you think that's right?
You mean to above all be something?
Yes.
No.
Why not?
Split infinitive.
To above all be. All right, so what if I did split an infinitive? That's more work than you've done in your whole life. Think, man. What do you want out of life? Fame?
No.
Fortune?
No.
Power?
No.
Then what?
Girls.
No, please. I'm talking about something with a solid foundation, something physical.
Yeah.
Listen, Arch. If we start making things, building things, history will talk about you and I. Don't you agree?
That history will talk about you and I? I can't agree.
Why not?
Because the subject of a preposition always takes the objective case.
Arch, help me. We'll go at this together. We'll build together, we'll eat together, we'll sleep together, we'll dream of a bright future together. What do you say?
I do.
And so these far-seeing pioneers, Arch King and Arch Queen, started on their great adventure to invent work. First they began by observing how animals lived and built things.
Now, Arch, watch these birds.
Uh-huh.
You see, they're bringing their worms to that little nest?
Yeah.
See, they built their house from pieces of straw? Maybe we can do the same thing as the birds.
Eat worms?
So they watched the birds for 3 years, trying to learn things.
But all they learned was how to sit on eggs. Finally, they turned to another animal, the beaver.
Hey, look at those beavers biting into trees.
How disgusting.
But look at those animals. They cut down trees, they build their own homes, they have a floor, a roof, they're warm in the winter. I'm sure we can live like that, too.
Arch, you want us to live like animals?
Arch King and Arch Queen were about to give up. All their hopes had fallen. They were a couple of fallen arches. But something inside them drove them on. It was the desire to drive on. So on they drove.
Look, Arch, maybe if we take these little rocks and pile them one on top of another...
You're right, let's go.
Faster, Arch. Pile those rocks. Faster, faster. Pile them one on top of another. There, it's done.
Gee, the rock's awful high. But what's it good for?
It's very important.
For what?
In case we ever need a high piece of rock.
Arch King, you're a genius. And what's more, you always were, King.
I always what?
Were, King.
And so, working was invented. Since that time, working has become almost universal. Some men work for themselves. These are called businessmen. Some men work for others. These are called husbands. But what of the future of work? Will men continue to work, or will we go back to those unhappy and miserable days when men did nothing but relax and enjoy themselves? We have in our studio tonight an expert on the labor situation, Dr. Heinrich von Morgen. Widely known economist, sociologist, and opportunist. Author of the famous book, Work and How I Hate It. Good evening, Dr. Morgan.
I'll do.
Dr. Morgan, I read your recent book with great interest. I liked it very much.
You did? I didn't.
Why not?
No pictures.
Tell me, is there another book in the offing?
Yeah, that's a... What?
I mean, I understand you're writing another book.
Sure. What's it called? Oh, yeah, it's called How to Save Money by Building Your Own Flagpole.
Well, getting back to labor... From your books, it's my opinion that labor should remain untaxed. How do you feel?
Terrible. You got the aspirin?
Well, getting back to labor, there's the theory that labor is essentially a mechanistic force and is a commodity interchangeable as any other saleable economic factor. What would you say about that?
Well, I would say the... What would you say about it?
But, Doctor, getting back to labor, what do you really think?
I think you're pissed.
Thank you, Dr. Morgan, for your revealing commentary. Science marches on.
Morgan will be on this same corner in front of the cigar store again next week at this time. But don't go away. We're going to take the pictures, remember. Don't go away.
Eversharp, manufacturers of Eversharp Schick injector razors and blades, invite you to tune in same time, same station next week when Eversharp will again bring you the Henry Morgan Show. They're yours again, Eversharp Schick injector blades, for the world's fastest, safest, smoothest shave. Just insert the automatic blade changer in your Eversharp Schick injector razor. Push, pull, click, click, and you're ready to shave. 20 blades, 75 cents at good stores everywhere. This is Charles Irving saying goodnight for Eversharp. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
Thank you for listening to and showing your support for my podcast. If you would like to receive notifications of when new episodes are posted, please subscribe to my channel. Subscriptions are 100% free, and they really help me get an idea of how I'm doing. Well, hope you enjoyed, and until next time, stay safe, wish you well, and as always, peace.